Good afternoon. I am Krissa Hewitt, and this is Ears on Art, a twice-monthly program that co-host Stephen DeLuque and I produce here at KCBX Public Radio. Today we continue our conversation with Paula Radke. Her last name is spelled R-A-D-K-E, and she works with glass. If you missed part one, you may access it on the KCBX website under Ears on Art. For many years, Paula did her glass work in Cambria, and then she moved to Morro Bay, where she has been for a good chunk of time. As you will hear, she is in the process of moving, and her address for the new place on the Embarcadero will be available in the program. She is certainly a woman of many talents and many interests, has taught herself a lot, has invented a few techniques along the way, and just in general is doing what she loves to do most. We start off today talking about what it is to do commissions. I know that you have a project going that in essence is a commission for someone, so do you explore those things, or what kinds of challenges do those often present?
I do very few commissions because of the challenges they create. Sometimes I've poured my heart into a commission and they look at it and go, oh, so they can be challenging. This I'm doing for a very good friend. It's just a fun project. I'll be doing her kitchen with some new drawer and cabinet pulls. It's not a standard hardware, so I'm having to invent the hardware for this. That was my challenge at the beginning. And once you get the idea, it's like, oh, yeah, sure. And off we go. So I think I've got it figured out. And
so in terms of the design process for that, I mean, it varies obviously with each client in terms of how much they are saying it's got to be exactly this, or you do it. How is this particular one kind of developed?
I've been given free rein. It's pretty wonderful. And I love this person and I want to do the most extravagant thing I can. And I've really backed off thinking that would be way too much. You know, yeah, I can do it, but would it be right for the job? So I've backpedaled and done a simpler modern line, which will save me a lot of effort, but I think it's the best for the job. So just thinking through, is it my ego wanting to do this? Is it right for the kitchen? Is it right for her? You know, you got to do all that thinking before you start.
And how much consultation have you had with her?
I showed her my sample. She said, I want that. And it's like, okay. So, but I have to adapt a sample that doesn't work for her kitchen. The hardware on it doesn't work. So just had to figure out how to make that design work for her project. And I think we're there. I think we're ready to start.
Well, that's very exciting. And sometimes it works very straightforwardly and other times it doesn't. Have you been in the situations where it didn't?
Only once or twice.
And, well, that's pretty cool.
then I really grew a little more cautious to commit to, especially if I didn't know the person that it was going to very well. Yeah, I don't really do a lot of commissions. I'd like for you to see what I make and buy it rather than me guess at what you really want.
I totally agree.
it's sad, but...
I've only done a couple commissions, and basically they told me what they wanted the subject matter to be, and I said, that's fine, but I'm going to paint it the way that I want it to be painted. And if you don't like it, that's fine. Walk away. And then I'll sell it to somebody else. It's fine.
They have to realize that, you know, you can't read their minds. You can only do so many things. You know, you have limitations.
I've had the good fortune of just doing one as a memorial for someone, and it was a almost 2-year process, but fortunately that 2 years gave us time to get to know each other better so that I learned a lot more about the person, her brother, you know, who she was honoring, and her nephews who were receiving the tributes. Partway through this thing, learned that he was an avid tambourine player. Well, that changed all sorts of possibilities about what could be done. She arrives with this bag of broken tambourine bells, and I'm going, God, I didn't even know that they broke. So that was really an intriguing thing. But when it works, it's been such an honor for me to be able to do that. But boy, I'm sure willing to say no, and especially when it's kind of, oh, you could make one of these. I saw it in the store the other day. Would you?
Yeah. No, that's not fun. It does make a difference when you can get to know the person, and then you can put little fun nuances to the project that suit them.
That has its own limitations sometimes, just in terms of wanting to do your own work and not necessarily somebody else's all the time? Is that kind of where it hits?
Yeah, I think you've got it. It can be a challenge not to assert your own ideas onto the project. So I think it's really important that you really listen and get to know the person that you are accepting this commission from. Find out what they want and then come to the point of what you can do for them.
And in that, there's that interesting shift. If you are more than somebody just technically creating something as opposed to aesthetically, artistically creating something, how is it that we find those ways to extract what they're after without having them have to design it?
I think it's communication. As long as you both know what you're getting into, I think there has to be a little of them letting you go once they trust that you're in the right direction.
There was a graphic design person who came to Cal Poly one day, and I've always remembered what he said about clients, but he says, when they've left and I'm starting to work, something triggers in me, I'll end up doing two. I take them back to the client and say, this was in response to what you indicated you wanted, and this is my other direction that I took. No harm, no foul here.
I like that. But in glass, it can be expensive to make a couple prototypes. So there's more communication involved than actually a finished product.
If I'm going to somebody and commissioning something, I can carry with it that sense of, I better help them out a lot here because maybe they won't ever understand what I want. So it's a trust on both sides.
I agree. You've got to find out what's really motivating them to get this done, though, and make sure they get at least some of that, I think.
So I imagine that you have been asked, I've certainly been asked, where ideas come from.
Boy, I wish I knew.
General sources of inspiration?
I have always wanted to do lighting or lighted sculpture. And when I get that idea in my head, everything becomes a lamp to me. I'm taking a walk, there's a tree. Oh, leaves for the shade, a gnarly trunk for the stem. So that's fun for me to see my project out in nature. And let's face it, Mother Nature's the master creator, master designer. So I do look to nature. Best colors, best shapes.
I don't think I've ever really had that specific kind of thing, but certainly that sense of, okay, there's a conversation going on here, and it's not one that's trying to mimic something particularly, it's just trying to be inspired.
Inspired, yes, inspiration.
Curves and textures and colors.
Oh, the first time I saw, I don't know the name of this fish, it's turquoise and orange. I mean, I sat there in shock. Who puts those colors together? They're fabulous. Mother Nature.
So much to learn, so much to be appreciative of, that's for sure.
I am motivated by materials. I really let the materials dictate my direction. And with glass, I mean, I think I use about 6 different methods to shape glass. So every different method results in different designs. There's one example I can give you. In glass, you have what's called an interface reaction. When you put one color next to another, the metals in one color react to the metals in the other color, and you get a separate third color where they touch. That's magic. That happens in the kiln. That's accidental. So I can know it's happening, but I don't know what it's going to look like. So that's what I mean when I work with the materials and let them dictate design sometimes.
And in that context, is design as much about how the colors start to interact with each other more than the configuration, or is it some of both?
In that case, it is the color. It's the way the colors blend. I have an idea what shape I want, and I can control shape a lot better than color.
Yes, I've heard that from enamelists also, yes, and also from potters. I mean, glazing is something that some days it's that color, and some days it's a little something else.
So I think it reacts to the atmospheric pressure sometimes. You know, it's the humidity, it's the temperature, it's a lot of factors, which I don't know.
And of course, ceramic artists are famous for putting little kiln gods on top of the oven as they're letting it go, and how often they work, or how they work, is kind of a mystery.
I haven't tried that. I might. I like it. I like it.
So in your shop here, and I understand you're about to move. You're in Morro Bay, but you're changing locations.
Yes, I'm very excited. Moving down to the Embarcadero September 1st.
Cool. So the address?
701 Suite E. It's in the Flying Dutchman building.
Ah. We're in more your studio room right now where you're got tables and can cut and assemble. And then the front part of this store is the display area. Will you be simulating that or will you keep this spot for working?
I'll keep the spot for working for sure. I might do some classes in the front room.
That sounds like a good combo. Sign me up, yeah.
If there's any left of me at the end of the day. I love teaching. I have learned so much from my students. They see things with fresh eyes. Mm-hmm. They have blown me away. And children especially. I love working with children.
What age group were the kids?
Well, 8 at least, I think, would make sense.
Yeah, we have to keep it pretty simple for the real young ones.
Paula has developed a material called glass clay. We talked about that some last week, but she expands now on how versatile it is. And with that clay, is it something that, like regular clay, you're able to just keep contained in a way that it's pretty useful for a long time? If it hardens by mistake, are you able to reconstitute it?
It's amazing stuff, yes. I've had it rock hard, and I set it in a wet spot on my table. Poof, came right back to life. So it can be solid rock hard, and I can reinstate it. Even after it's dried and I'm sanding my piece, I can rehydrate all the little filings as well. So there is no waste.
Boy, thinks of everything.
Glass is expensive. We don't want to throw it away if we have to. Don't have to.
I want to see some of your beads, since you say that's where you started. Okay, so these are often, when one is in a bead store, one is seeing long mm-hmm. strands of things, and these are nice, smaller little clumps.
They're expensive.
Yes.
So you can't string them in too long of strands, or you'll not
send your customers
them.
Away.
All my beads are dichroic glass, which gives them the nice metallic sheen and lots of color.
Absolutely. And many are round, but there's some that are square and some that are flat.
I think I have 1,500 different styles of beads, or did at one time.
And were you catalog selling those, or just all out of the storefront?
Trade shows and jewelry manufacturers' catalogs. Rio Grande sold them for a while. Mm-hmm. Michael's Arts and Crafts stores, Hobby Lobby, Joann's. It was good.
And then it was time to play with something else.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And these large round plates are fused and slumped, or am I
yes.
jumping to conclusions?
No, they are fused and slumped.
We can go through that definition again. It never hurts.
Fused is where you're literally melting glass together. And slumping is putting the flat glass over a mold, heating it back up where it falls into the shape of your mold. So you're slumping it into the shape of your mold.
And nowadays, with kilns that almost all have computers connected to them, that process has gotten a little bit more predictable?
It depends on what you're putting in the kiln. Every piece of glass fires differently according to size and thickness. So you still have to know what you're doing. Or just do everything super slow and then you're safe all the time.
But you can also set it to some extent and walk away for a few hours.
Yes, there are certain times during the firing where you're not going to want to walk away, but generally now after almost 40 years, yes, I can, but I'm still surprised sometimes.
Having worked alongside both a glassblower and a ceramic artist, and there were two things that would happen at Cal Poly. If we were in a meeting and there were fire engines, both of their heads would turn and this look of, oh, please, not... Fortunately, it never was the glass area or the ceramic area. But, of course, the other was, you know, when do I have to be here? And can I avoid the 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yes, yes.
And when you're doing things like these bowls, which are, what, almost 18 inches or
They're
so?
19, yeah.
19 mm-hmm. in diameter. What kind of ways are you thinking about pattern or design when you play with these?
I rarely sit down and sketch out an idea, although I keep thinking I should try that sometime.
Oh, there's
sometime.
That should out
yeah,
there, right?
Yeah. Don't shoot on myself. But generally, just playing with the materials, putting it in place and looking at it, and then kind of knowing what it'll look like when it's fused together, which is always a surprise.
It's always a surprise, but there is a body of knowledge that we acquire.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
Somewhat tainted, but... So the lines here are threads of glass?
This is done in the coloring process where resists are put over the glass. So okay. when the vaporized metals rise onto the glass, it acts like a resist. It also spreads the color a little bit, radiates the color around the lines.
Totally different from where I thought I was going with my super knowledge of glass. Well, they're quite beautiful.
Mm-hmm. These are going into the inn at Morro Bay.
Ah.
As soon as I get the plate holders.
Will they be in their lobby, or are they using them?
Yes, they're okay. allowing me to decorate their lobby. Fun.
Fun. Absolutely.
Oh. There'll be four of them on their four pillars in the lobby. Ah. You cannot pass them by without noticing them.
And when do you hope to have them installed?
Yesterday.
Well, of course.
I'll also be doing classes at the inn at Morro Bay. They wanted to come in and have a couple glasses of wine and an hors d'oeuvre and make a bracelet with Paula Radke. How fun is that going to be?
So bracelet with beads?
Yeah.
I was going to say, a little wine, a little torch work, that would be...
No open flames for that. I use water jet cutters. Familiar with what a water jet cutter is for the audience? It's high pressure water with a little carborundum grit in it. So you can computerize your program and it will cut out whatever you want. So I've made a puzzle out of glass just for fun using that water jet technique.
Well, you play.
You play. That's what I do. I play.
Do you use that much glue? There are these boxes of Gorilla Glue here, folks, that are about a foot in length by 6 by 6 or 8 by 8 or whatever. So
I do a line of beads for the Daughters of the American Revolution. They're red, white, and blue, and I glue on silver end caps. So that's what I use my Gorilla Glue for.
Not
my favorite job. Right. I have to wear a mask and goggles. Yes. And
well, but it's just part of your versatility.
But, they're beautiful, I have to say. It's worth doing, I guess.
I'm just sort of walking around here gazing at the showroom, which is very colorful.
The amazing variety.
I did explain I like technique. I want to try everything at least once. I've used texture plates, silicone texture plates, and I can push different colors of clay into the texture plate and then fuse that onto a solid background and make incredible, detailed, colorful patterns in the glass.
And is that one picture frame back there, or is it a couple hung on top of each other? I'm loving the...
It was two picture frames that got glued together, oddly like that, cockeyed, if you will. And I liked it, so I made another piece for the background, and it is what it is. Like a dolly clock.
Right. And not quite dripping, but definitely...
On its way. The stringer piece is fun. That's made from fine, fine threads of glass, layered for hours. And it looks like a piece of fabric.
Mm-hmm. It does. It's a, 2 foot almost, 18 inch square?
Mm-hmm.
Again, fused and slumped?
Fused and slumped. Made from just, less than a millimeter thick rods of glass that are hand pulled.
By you, or have you been buying?
I have, but I don't anymore. That's a full-time job. Yeah. Theirs are straighter from the factory than mine are.
Right. You got any thoughts, sir?
Oh, sorry, what?
Any thoughts?
I was gazing.
Good. Well, just a wonderful array. And
September 1st, I'm going to be down at 701 Embarcadero, Suite C.
And do you have a website?
I do have a website, paularadke.com.
Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
This has been very informative. I know nothing about glass, so this has been very informative.
Our guest today on Ears on Art has been Paula Radke, whose brand new glass outlet is now in Morro Bay at 701 Embarcadero in the Flying Dutchman Mall. And to see some of her work ahead of time, check out her website at Paula Radke, RADKE.com. As always, I, Chrissy Hewitt, and Stephen DeLuque are delighted to be able to bring this program to you. We learn so much every time we talk with someone, and very much appreciate the feedback that many of you give us. Thank you for listening.